That's why we got 10 things. We want to perfect our love this month, hallelujah, and focus on, our series is entitled Focus on the Fruit. Focus on the Fruit. And so I'm going to demonstrate the card, and I want you to follow along with me as we kind of open up this month's series, where we're focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. Our main focus is going to be on the love of God, and because that's the first fruit. That's the first fruit. Amen. That's the main fruit. All right. So we want you to read out loud and meditate on the love scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Amplified Bible, for the entire month. We want you to also include Romans 5, 5, Amplified, Romans 5, 5, in the Amplified Bible. And I'll read that to you real quick as we get started. Romans 5, 5. Amplified Bible. So we want you feeding on love scriptures and exercising love, the love of God. Romans 5:5 Amplified says, so such hope never disappoints and or dilutes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. So, and then we want you to personalize and confess. 1 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constrains us. So say this with me. The love of Christ constrains me. So you personalize that and confess it concerning you. And then, of course, Galatians 5:14. Follow after me. Just repeat after me. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, I will love my neighbor as myself. Amen. 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 So get them down in your spirit. Get them down in your heart. Then Philippians 1:9. Follow after me. Just repeat after me. And this I pray, that my love, the love of God in me, may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Amen. Now repeat this after me. 1 Thessalonians 3:2 says, and the Lord makes me to increase and abound in love one toward another, others at TWCC, my church family, and toward all men, even as I and others do toward me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you can pray the scriptural love prayers, Ephesians 3, 14. You can turn there. Go ahead and turn there, if you will. Just follow along. Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. So as your added prayer list for the day, you add these scriptural prayers. Because you want to bolster your love life. You bolster your love walk. Bolster and boost up your love level. Amen. For this cause, I bow my knees. Now, again, you personalize these prayers unto the Father of my Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me, you personalize it, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man, that Christ, the anointed one, in his anointing may dwell in my heart by faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in what? In love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know, and that I would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I thank you, Father, that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works in me. Hallelujah. Unto you be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't that good? Now, also couple with that, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. You can follow along there with me as well, if you'd like. And it says, in verse 9, and this I pray, that my love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Whose love? My love may abound. So you're stretching your love. You're feeding it and you're exercising your love. Hallelujah. In all judgment. That I may approve things that are excellent, that I may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. See, this is one of the main fruits, the first fruits, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. And then, of course, number seven on your action plan is to practice random acts of kindness and love. You know, do things that benefit people, bless people randomly. Don't expect anything in return. Just do it motivated by the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us in 1 Peter, you can turn there as well, follow along with me, and then we'll get started in our teaching. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 tells us, finally be ye, that's also me, that's also us, be ye all of one mind. What mind we want you to have? We want you to have a love mind. A mind about a love life, the life of God, the love of God. Having compassion one of another. Now we know compassion means intense, one of the definitions is intense, eager yearning to do good. So let compassion move you this month. Love as what? Brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Amen. Tenderhearted and humble, it says in the Amplified. So be tenderhearted. Let your heart be tenderized this month. Tenderized with the love of God. Praise God. And then, of course, first number eight, focus on walking in love and walking in forgiveness. Now, those are two different walks, but they're all in the same source. The love of God enables you and empowers you to walk in love. That means you believe the best of every person. Your hopes are faithless in under every circumstances and endures everything without weakening, it says in the Amplified Bible. So in other words, you don't look at people and degrade them and demote them in your own eyes or in your own perspective. You walk in forgiveness, meaning that's what you give somebody. You know, when you see them doing something wrong or if they've done something wrong to you, what do? You give forgiveness. Are y'all here? So you give forgiveness. So remember, some of you heard the illustration we gave with Brother Copeland when he had that guy that was really did him wrong. And he's wanting to get release from it. So how do you spell release? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And so he had to release the guy because he had done him so much harm and been so mean to him and cruel to him. And he would every time he'd think about him and call him, he said, Lord, I love him. You love him. I forgive. Say it with me. I love him. You love him. I forgive. So you can't let it touch your thought life that they owe you something or something they done you wrong. When you're thinking like that, you have to practice. This is not a feeling thing. You have to practice walking in forgiveness. You say, Lord, I love them. I know you love them. And I forgive. And that has nothing to do with how you feel about them. Amen. Because it takes faith to do it first. In the right way, because you're not doing it based on feelings. So it's not conditional forgiveness. It is unconditional love and forgiveness. Amen? Amen. So even if your children set off your last nerve, Father, I love them, you love them, and I forgive them. Forgiveness is not just a passive acknowledgement, general aspect. It is an action of strategy and tactics. So that means you let it drop, the offense, the grudge, the bitterness, you let it go, you give up the resentment, and you leave it in God's hands. So everybody say it with me. Let it drop.
Let it go.
Leave it. And give up the resentment. So that's the four action steps of walking in forgiveness. You got to let that thing drop. Let it go. Leave it alone. Leave it in God's hands. And then give up the resentment. Amen. We'll talk about that later this month. Amen. Y'all sound real excited about talking about the walking in the love of God, the dealing with the love of God, focusing on fruit. Amen. Y'all real excited. Y'all real encouraging tonight. Amen. So we stir up the love of God in our spirit. Now, 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 tells us to stir up the gift of God. What gift did God give us? He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So within that gift is the spirit of power, love. It says it in verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? Sound. So you say, I have the spirit of power. I have the spirit of love. And I have the spirit of a sound mind. That spirit dominates me, puts me over. Amen. 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 Causes me to walk in victory in Jesus' name. And then you keep yourself in the love of God. Right after the scripture in Jude 20 that says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, it says in verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So now, how many know you got to be keep? You got to be want to be kept. Amen. Everybody say, Lord, I want to be kept. Get in the love of God. Amen. So it's the love of God will constrain you. When you want to say something, when you want to criticize, when you want to call something out, when you want to be critical, the love of God will constrain you. Amen. So this is love growth, fruit growing season. Come on, let's lift up our hands as we begin to get in our subject matter. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I thank you that you want me to grow, that you've given me the capacity and the capability, hallelujah, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, we'll start reading at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, reading out of the New King James Version. New King James Version. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are not contrary one to another, so that you can not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, he begins to list them, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. That's strife, actually, but it's also can be really understood that way, selfish ambition. Dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means you're limited from participation and sharing in the kingdom principles, kingdom power, and kingdom purposes. So you're restricted. You put yourself out of that place of victory in that regard. Now, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. King James says faith, but it's literally faithfulness. 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Praise the Lord. So we want to focus on the fruit. Focus on the fruit. Every one of us have great capacity and great potential to grow and develop. And without growing and developing in these character qualities and these forces of your newborn recreated human spirit called in the scripture as fruit, then you won't realize much growth. You've often probably heard this phrase, talent and giftedness can take you to the top, but it's character that keeps you on top. And so you should equally grow in character and the qualities of God, which are identified, these nine qualities, and not just try to develop the gift. Amen. And the talent and abilities. So you can't lean on your talent when you're in a crisis of temptation, a test and trial of pressure. And your character is what's going to keep you steady and stable. Somebody say glory to God. The world in which we live, ladies and gentlemen, we know this for sure, that the storms of life come, and there's a lot of stuff going on. But these are character tests that we can successfully pass and exceed as we walk in the Spirit and allow ourselves to be under the development of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where he develops our character traits and these qualities, these godly qualities that he's put in us, identified as the fruit of the Spirit. So everybody say it again, focus on the fruit. So as we've got written out before you, and we've got some slots there, and we're just going to minister to you these things, because as we're developing character qualities, sometimes the fruit requires us to deal with our soul man, because things may become intoxicated with the wrong either thoughts, behaviors, or emotions that contaminate our lifestyle, our living. Okay? So we're going to roll up our sleeves and get at these things. Amen? I want you to do that this month and begin to grow in the fruit. Look, you know, major statements Jesus made in John 13, and he said to us that we are to love one another. He said, by this shall all men, verse 34, John 13:34, shall know that you are my disciples if you what? Have love one to another. So it doesn't matter how gifted we become or how knowledgeable we become, our love is what matters. Everybody say love matters. Love matters. Love is a big deal. Now, why this too? Because God says there's been a knowledge, but he said we need to major on the majors as well, which is love. Sometimes we major on the minors, accumulating knowledge. I mean, we're always in the information gathering posture, watch news, we're checking in with social media, what we're doing, gathering knowledge. Now, even Bible classes and stuff time can be not necessarily harmful, but that can get you off track a little bit, because all you're going after is knowledge. And see, the Bible tells us knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So knowledge, you can say it this way, puffs up, but love builds up. How are we going to build up the body? With love. Through the edifying of itself. Ephesians 4:16. In love. How do we edify the body? With the love of God. There's no other quality he's listed to build up the body but in love. Now, the purpose of this is for all of us to pay attention to our character. Pay attention to your growth and development in these areas. Primarily, love. The love of God. Am I walking in love? Am I living a love lifestyle? And am I walking in forgiveness? To a degree, as much as I know by the leading direction, guidance, and training of the Holy Spirit in my heart. Because, you know, love requires us to walk in the light. Now, you've heard me say this. I've just repeated it from Kenneth E. Hagin. Every step out of love is sin. And you have to get back to God in a hurry. Because everything else, if it's not based in love, is not based in God. For God is love. So knowledge puffs up. You know how we start clocking some years and months in the kingdom, and our legacy is we've grown in knowledge. That's good, but we need to balance that with growing in love. Growing in love. Is everybody here?
Yes.
So, because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. All right. So the flesh and the spirit are so contrary to each other, as we read earlier, that walking in the spirit automatically excludes walking in the flesh. Because when you're spirit-led, you're spirit-controlled, and you're spirit-filled, in that sense, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, so you're not under the influence of your flesh. Peter said an interesting statement. We have it there. Dear beloved, chapter 2, verse 11, I beseech you, as strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts. So everybody in here has flesh, and their flesh desires things. Flesh, Jesus said in John 15, profits nothing. In my flesh, Paul said, is no good thing. So if the flesh doesn't profit, if there's no good thing in my flesh, then we need to stay away from it. Flesh wars against your soul. That means they intoxicate your mind, will, and emotions with things that are not of God. Amen. So over time, we said, a Christian believer should increasingly bear fruit of the Spirit to be more successful in his or her battle against fleshly lusts or desires and sinful temptation. So things that bothered you last year, last month, or you should be, okay, I conquered that. I don't have that issue anymore. Amen?
Amen.
I've grown in love.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No other growth, ladies and gentlemen, can be experienced or realized in our lives without a corresponding grow in love.
Amen.
So some people think, well, I'm growing in faith. Yeah, you're growing in knowledge of faith. But you're not, you can't grow in faith because faith works by love. Are you listening to me? And so 1 Corinthians 15:20 tells us, but we write unto them that they abstain. Everybody say abstain. From pollution of idols. See, some things can get you polluted out there in the world. That's like spiritual sin. And from fornication, that's sensual sin. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, King James Version says, for this is the will of God, even our sanctification, that we should abstain. Everybody say abstain.
Abstain.
From fornication. So abstain means to hold off of, hold oneself off, refrain, hold back, keep off, and prevent. Everybody say the love of Christ. Constrain me. That should be our main constrainer, not our emotions, because they can fly off the handle, right? They come unhooked and unglued. Not our thinking. He said the love of Christ constrains us. That means when your flesh wants to do wrong, your spirit man, the love of God, blowing up, building up on your big side, inside of you, constrains you. No, you can't do that. You can't say that. You shouldn't think that. I mean, in the major things, and even in the minor things.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I mean, all of us need spiritual tune-ups at times.
Amen.
Yes. And we're talking about tonight, soul detoxing. To facilitate and promote our spiritual development. Because you got to get rid of stuff so that you can go forward in other godly stuff or godly things. Amen?
Amen.
So sometimes you have to get a tune-up. I was just here recently driving. Some of y'all know I teach at a school, at another church, their school of ministry, and on a Monday night. So I was, you know how you start doing things, and you start, you know, you get a little bit, like our brother Kyle says, curmudgeons. So, did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're like, and I don't know what that word actually means, but I think it's a mixture of complaining, grumbling, and griping all together. And so, you know, our actions and our words are like seeds. Also, our motives determine what kind of seed it is. And so it was a more situation where the Lord was saying, well, watch what you're sowing, because do you want the harvest? And so you got the curmudgeons, you're grumbling, griping, complaining, and like, oh, I'm tired, I want to do it. He said, you got to stir yourself up to get the want to in line, to keep the desire in check. Are you listening to me? Because it could be a menial task. In this case, I'm not ministering at church or anything, so I was like, I want to rest. I want to, you know, my body's telling me, my flesh is telling me, you know, I don't know if this is worth it all. And then you got to be willing.
Amen.
And obedient to qualify.
Amen.
To eat the good of the land. So in the car, I had to get willing. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. So you got to think about it. Just coming to church, you got to get willing. You know, God said in his word, through David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. In other words, be glad coming to church. Don't complain that traffic is heavy. Yes, it's heavy. Don't complain that I got stuff to do. You know what I'm talking about. God wants you to love what he loves. And he loves church. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
And he said serve him with gladness. So I got to make sure I'm glad when I'm serving the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not all, you know, poker face and stiff shirt and oh, man, you know, let's go check the block. No, be glad about it. And you have to stir up the love of God. I love to serve you, Lord. I love to do your word. That's what Jesus would always say. It said that in the Psalms. He would say, I love to do thy will, O God. That's what we should be saying. I love to do what you want me to do, Lord. So let's talk about what he said, walk in the Spirit. So walk is the present tense. So that means every day we need to make sure that I'm walking where? In the Spirit. And brother, if you want an extra one, I think there's some around here. We don't have it online, so if you don't want it. So this indicating a way of life. This way of walking means a way of life. That's the first slot there. You can put that in there. So to walk in the Spirit is to have daily habit of continual obedience. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is challenging us to keep moving in the enabling power of the work of the Holy Spirit. Freedom is not unrestrained behavior. Because, you know, human nature is we don't like to be controlled. But we have to yield control to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have to yield right away for him to take his position of our guide, our director, our controller. Amen? See, a life of doing whatever, see, this unrestrained behavior is a life of doing whatever we want, whenever we want, and is in reality a life of bondage rather than freedom. And you see people fighting and picketing for their rights, going against election outcomes because they say, you're going to take away our freedom. But really, they don't know they're in bondage. Let's keep going. So to be led by the Spirit implies that you are allowing ourselves to be led. As we invite the Holy Spirit through our newborn, recreated human spirit, to direct us in development of the fruit of the Spirit, he enables us to defeat the power of the flesh more and more so we can walk in a way of freedom and righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? So the work of the flesh are fall into three categories. I'll write them down so make sure you get them. Three categories. Category one is sensual sins. Some people say sexual sins, but you know they're interchangeable. Sensual sins. Okay? Because he begins with the statement of, now the works of the flesh are these, and he begins to categorize them for us: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Okay, that's in verse 19. Verse 20, he begins to identify spiritual sins. Spiritual sins. Now, these are the bigger ones. Now, sometimes we always think these are the bigger ones. But God told Brother Hagin and other ministers of God that I'll judge you quicker on spiritual sins than sexual sins, or this third one is social sins. Social sins. So this is relationship stuff. Dealing, interacting with other people. So spiritual sins go from idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, that's strife, and dissensions and heresies. And then, of course, we pick up on these social sins at the end of verse number 20, dissensions and heresies, and then envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. So that's social sins. So there's a lot of social sins because we're around people. Nobody's living in a silo, living in a vacuum. We got to interact with other people. Amen. Now, there's some interesting verses in the Old Testament. One verse, interesting, it says it this way. Samuel was saying, he said he would sin against God by ceasing to pray for you. Now, this is the man of God saying, I'm going to sin because I don't pray for you. Well, if there's a command to pray, then you have to pray. You know, many people talk about the president, but they don't pray for the president, as the scripture says. You see what I mean? So there's light that you have to walk in these areas. But it was an interesting scripture that he brought that about. We know that loving people is not, and hating people, according to John, we're going to talk about that a little later this month, if the Lord allows, is not, I'm hating on you, so I'm going to get ready to stick a knife in your back. That's not when hate starts. Hate starts when you pull your love, the love of God, off. I'm not going to do to you what you need. Now, chew on that. Just chew on that. This withholding love is when hate starts. For example, one of the spiritual sins is called idolatry. That's the last bullet down there on the first page. Is an act of worshiping anything other than God. We are created to worship God, love people, and use things. Too often, carnal body rule believers, they use people, love self, and worship things. We get wrapped around the axle about stuff. You're not supposed to be a stuffaholic. Okay? So how do we detox our soul? Because God's standard is holiness. Everybody say holiness. See, he made us holy, and he expects us to live holy. We're holy because of, number one, our new birth in Christ. We were created holy. Now turn with me in these scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that the temple of God, that you are the temple of God?" Everybody say, "I am the temple of God." Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit, so write this next to your Bible in some margin of space. The Holy Spirit makes his home in us or me. You can say it that way too. He answers it, "Know ye not, don't you realize that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So because he dwells in us, we're now set apart, exclusive for God. We're the temple of God. Everybody say it with me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now it says that in another chapter that we are 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Amen. So everybody say, "I'm the temple of God. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit." So he says, verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is," what is the temple of God? "Holy." Everybody say, "Holy." "Which temple ye are." So are you holy? Yes. Just by sheer spiritual truth and fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you as a born-again believer. He makes his home in you. So you have been set apart for God. Amen. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "According to as he has chosen us before him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be," what? "Holy and without blame before him in love." So he chosen us to be holy. Now there is positional holiness and there is behavioral holiness. Positional holiness means I've been set apart exclusively for God. In other words, my spirit, soul, and body belong to the Lord, and I'm supposed to glorify him with those. My spirit, soul, and body. Because you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. So your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are to do that. Then I am called to behavioral holiness. Because I live in Christ, I'm called to live holy. Now let me read Colossians 3, and then I'll go down to the other scriptures. Colossians 3:12 tells us, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved." Everybody say, "I'm holy and I'm beloved." Amen, amen. So I'm set apart exclusively for God. Now in Timothy, he tells us, 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who saved us and called us with a holy calling." So our calling to live in Christ, we are called to live holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, "But as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." 2 Peter 3:11. 2 Peter 3:11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness." Holy conversation and godliness. 2 Peter 3:11. So we are to practice clean living. Clean living. Spiritually. mentally, emotionally, socially, physically, and financially in a contaminated world. This requires us to consistently detox our soul, because when the devil will set us up with toxins to pollute us, remember, the devil only has two strategies, to dilute you or to pollute you. And this is his polluting side of strategy, where he tries to get you to be toxic. Then you become a terror as a Christian. Amen. So you got to detox. So there's three parts of soul detoxing. Write these things down. I'm going to read them real quickly and make sure you have them. Part one, you got to detox behaviors. Detox behaviors. So if you look at your behavior, see if there's things that needs to be adjusted. Now, that's why the doctrine of repentance is in place, because it's repentance from dead works. That means you have to change your mind, your motive, and your mouth, and your direction. Hallelujah. Just turn around, your purpose and everything else. All right, number one is deception infection. So telling yourselves the truth, aligning your lives with the truth, making sure you're not living based on lies or deception. Okay, number two, septic thoughts. Septic thoughts. So overcoming any false beliefs or bad doctrines that perhaps you've embraced. We talked about that before. Bad doctrine produces lack of respect and lack of restraint. Those are two, as Jude identifies and as Peter identifies, the lack of respect comes and the lack of restraint is manifested in behavior when there's been the digestion of bad doctrine. That means some teaching outside of the scriptures that tells you freedom is just unrestrained behavior. I'm free. I can do whatever I want to, stay whatever, you know, just go hard left and right. There's no boundaries in my life. There's no boundaries in my believing. Everything goes. That's not God. Because you have bad thoughts. Septic thoughts. Stinking thinking. Lethal language. Engaging in and experiencing the power of life-giving words. Because sometimes our language could be the language not of love, but a language of hate. The language of strife. The language of bitterness. So make sure your language is not lethal toward other people. All right. Number four, hazardous waste. So in other words, is anything hidden that's a sin in your life? Dig it up, get it out. By the love of God. Love will help you. The love of God will help you. All right, number part two, toxic emotions. Toxic emotions. So there's bitter roots. Dig up any destructive source of resentment. Like we said, walking in forgiveness is part of that practice where you let it drop, let it go, leave it, and then give up the resentment. Bitter roots. Make sure there's no root, because the scripture tells us, lest a root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and whereby many be defiled. See, hurting people hurt other people. And if you got bitter roots in you, they're going to produce bitter fruit in your life. Green with envy, number two, under toxic emotion. Green with envy, dealing with scratching the poison ivy of comparison. So remember we said we contribute to each other. We don't compete against each other. We said that Sunday. We contribute to each other. We don't compete against each other. And don't get into the three C's. You don't compare. You don't commend yourself. You don't compare yourself against somebody else. You don't commend yourself, and you don't classify yourself against other people. All right? Yes. Number three, the rage rash. The rage rash. Under toxic emotions, number three, rage rash. Neutralizing the acid of anger. Now, you know, we know, and we'll get into a little bit about that in our series here, if the Lord allows. There's the blow up, explosive anger, and then there's the hidden emotion. You got to make sure the hidden emotion doesn't last that beyond that day. Because when it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, he's not referencing the Greek word that means, which is thumos, which is the explosive yelling outburst of anger. He's using the hidden emotion word, the derivative. He's saying orge, which is, he's using the word orgizo. Orgizo is the hidden emotion. That's the deadly one. Don't let the sun go down on the hidden emotion of your anger, because unresolved anger, meaning when is it categorized or classified as unresolved, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. When it passes the sundown, sunset. Everybody should be living off the sunset rule. So he said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, because unresolved anger will metastasize and you become homicidal or suicidal. That thing will fester. Time doesn't heal those wounds. Time is an enemy to that kind of anger. Amen. Amen. So it becomes a rash. You know, like rash on your body, it spreads. And it's infective. Number four, scare pollution. Unlocking and unlearning the chokehold of fear. Now, most people who deal with psychology and physiology say that there are two fears everybody has when they born and inherit with. You know, fear of falling and fear of loud noises. Anybody heard that before? Yeah. So all the rest of them are learned. So what do you have to do? Friends, you have to unlearn. You have to unlearn fear. Perfected love, the scripture tells us, cast out all fear. It helps you unlearn fear. Fear of living, fear of dying, fear of heights, fear of fall, fear of whatever. All fear is to be gone. Amen? Because it said fear has what? Torment. Or the word is really pressure. It forces you to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do. It puts pressure on you. You're not supposed to respond to fear. Remember, all sin is fear-based, fear-dependent. All doubt is fear-based and fear-dependent. When we doubt God, something's working on us. We don't make decisions under pressure because yielding to the devil's input, because he's telling you, you better do something now. You better do it now. You better do it now. You got to do it now. You got to react now. You got to say something now. That's fear-based. Fear-dependent. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody's so excited about this series. I appreciate that. Okay, part three, toxic influences. Toxic influences. So look at behaviors, look at emotions, look at influences. What's influencing you? The mood poison is purging the false promise of materialism. We get our eyes on things and we get to idolizing things. And that covetousness, as scripture says in Ephesians and in Colossians, becomes idolatry. The Bible even calls it, which is idolatry. Covetousness, that means we worship in that thing that we want. That object of our affection and devotion becomes the center of our heart and desire, and not God. We kick God off the throne and put something on the throne. How do you know that? You talk about it all the time. If we're, listen, think about love. If you love God with fervency, because he said love the brethren with a pure heart fervently in the New Testament. So if we're fervently in love with, if we're all in love with God with everything we got, our spirit, our soul, our all of our mind, all of our strength, our love our neighbor, if that's the great commandment, is that the main commandment, then walking in the full potential of that means that we are always full of God because God is love, and we're always talking about God because God is our focus. The Lord is our focus. We get to talking about stuff that's just so natural, and there's nothing wrong with it, but they become the object of our focus. Amen. And not him. Y'all still love me tonight?
Yes.
Y'all good? Okay. I forgot the number of these. I'm sorry about that. Okay, number two, under toxic influence, germ warfare, cleansing our lives from cultural toxins. So we've often said you are who you hang around. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, evil company, bad company, corrupts you. It's the corrupting germs of people who are unbelievers, doubt peddlers, and toxic. And I kind of talk extreme sometimes when I say, you call them friends. Friends, in scriptural language, means covenant. And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? What agreement has Christ with Belial? Because a covenant is agreement. That means I'm walking on the same. You can't walk together except you be agreed. Amen. You got to watch your association because your associations determine your assimilations. Light cannot fellowship, Paul said, by the Holy Spirit, with darkness. What communion has the temple of God with idols? You can't mix it up. John even said it in John chapter 2. If they don't abide by the doctrine of Christ, he said, don't bid them Godspeed and don't let them in your house. Because if you bid them Godspeed, you become partakers of their sins. Come on, somebody say amen to that. I'm giving you scripture. Okay, radioactive relationship. Loving unhealthy people without getting sick. Because we have to be restorers. We have to be reconcilers of relationships and people who've gotten toxic and who've gotten unhealthy. But we got to do it without getting contaminated ourselves. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. And then, of course, religion gone bad. Tossing out moldy legalism, a spoiled tradition, and sour Christians. Bless you. We're sneezing back there. All right. Everybody say soul detox. So we're giving you a lot of information there. And so the fruit of the Spirit helps us, ladies and gentlemen, falls into three categories. So we're kind of introducing everything tonight, and then we'll get more into the fruit in the upcoming weeks. Three categories. Number one. Is upward qualities. Meaning your relationship this way with God, upward, helps develop that fruit. God is love. So you hang around God, you can hang around love. His love, the smell of love, the essence of love, the life of love rubs off on you. Amen. Amen. And then in his presence is what? The fullness of joy. So when you hang around God's presence, you get joyful. Joy comes from his presence. And then, of course, he is the God of who? Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen. So he's the God of peace. So these what qualities you get with your upward relationship with God and develop. And then there are inward qualities. Yeah. I'm sorry, these are outward qualities. Outward qualities. Yeah. And these are inward qualities. So these, number two is outward qualities. You're looking at long suffering. Now, how many of y'all know you have to do that? Now, you can't do that in your flesh. Because it's long suffering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in patience, endurance. But you do, it's never angry, you know, I'm just almost tired of this, I'm about ready to, I'm done with them. No, it is cheerful endurance. Now we know 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love endures everything and anything without weakening. So you can't do that without the love of God.
That's right.
It endures everything without leaving. Love believes the best of every person. In other words, I don't never degrade or demote anybody. You know, I say, I'm done with them. You're through. People who practice the outward qualities of long-suffering don't get divorces. Well, let me keep going. All right. And then there's kindness. That's what we want everybody to practice. Random acts of kindness. Motivated by the love of God. Don't do it to flatter people or to be a fake with people. Show genuine kindness. That's like giving grace to someone else. It's for their benefit. It's for their blessing. It's to build them up.
Amen.
And not puff you up. That's what kindness is. It's a gift you're giving someone to be a blessing to someone. A gift or an act or something like that. Then goodness. You just a do-gooder. I mean, you just got a good heart, a good mind, a good manners. Come on now. Good speech. That's as you're talking to people, you're not, I'll use our brother's word again, you're not talking curmudgeons. You're not snappy, irritable. You don't have the irritable mouth syndrome. You're preaching real good tonight, Pastor. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. And then the inward qualities are these things that make your moral, build your moral fiber and integrity and qualities of character inside of you. You know, think about it. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. King James calls it temperance, but it was self-control. I mean, these are things that, hey, I'm in control of this flesh, this body. I can say no, I can say yes. I can look away if something's tempting coming before, you know, that kind of thing. I can resist thoughts that come. I mean, you know, temptation comes through the eye gate, the ear gate, the whatever, the, you know, those kind of things, and through the mind with this thought, idea, suggestion. So these are things that we want to develop. Everybody say, focus on the fruit.
Focus on the fruit.
All right. And then so these spirit-produced spiritual forces and characteristics of our newborn human spirit, he called these fruit, indicates beauty, spontaneity, quietness, and growth instead of effort, labor, strain, and toil. Now, that's why I want you to get out of your any type of religious thinking or tradition that says, I got to make an effort or try to do this in my own strength. I got to... You know, screw up my willpower, or I got to muscle it up to try to make it happen. No, you don't do this through the flesh. You do this out of your spirit.
Amen.
The first thing you have to do is surrender to the Master Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You got to yield to the love of God. that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So victory doesn't come, victory comes through surrender to Christ, not self-effort. Because our flesh has already been crucified with Christ, and we've already received the person of the Holy Spirit. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, urges us to live our in our practice, I mean our daily living, live in our practice what we already are in principle. Paul said it, I am crucified with Christ. I mean the old nature. I'm crucified with Christ. The one that wanted to do wrong and do wrong, that's gone anyway. That's gone. Now he's got the do right spirit in him. Amen. Amen? He's got the nature of God on the inside of him, just like you do and I do. Amen? He's got the righteousness of God on the inside of you. He's been sanctified in Christ Jesus. So the want to do is in your spirit. That's already in principle and in truth. Now you just got to live out of that. And grace helps you do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Big deal. Big deal. Bible says godly bodily exercise profit a little. There's a little bit of profit, but he said godliness, which is spiritual training, spiritual exercise, profiteth in all things. And so we can live out Romans 6:13, neither yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we yield our members. That means we don't let our members tell us what to do. We yield our members to righteousness, to God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.